Thank you, Crystal, for that special. Thank Miss message and song for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I want to highlight an announcement that wasn't mentioned, and that would be the advisory and business meeting tomorrow evening here at church. We'll be voting on the proposal for the budget for next year, and also the officers are those going to be serving in our offices next year. So please be here. We need a quorum so we can vote on these two items. Be at 6 o'clock. So look forward to seeing you here in the morning, tomorrow evening. All right, looking at our text. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9 through 15. And this particular message revolves around giving as Jesus gave. When we give as Jesus gave, then we will receive those riches of blessings. And when we think about giving, we always think financial and things like that. That's very important, and that's part of it. But there's many things that we miss in our text, as Paul will be pointing that out to us this morning. And so if you'll follow along with me, beginning with verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, which says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And then he says, "I give you my opinion in this manner," or "this matter, for this is to our advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was a readiness to desire it, so there will be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, saying present in your life, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the case or ease of the others and for your affliction, but by the way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. In verse 15, and this is taken from Exodus 16, 18 from the Old Testament, as Paul draws from the Old Testament to clarify what he's referring to, what his intent is. "As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack." So, as we look at what Paul is talking about here this morning, and this being the Thanksgiving season, also moving into our Christmas season, you know, we always think of that word giving. And from the very beginning, in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, he gave of himself, he became poor in order for us to be rich in him. So Paul uses this message or this text, and he was referring to the Macedonians, and he was talking and passing this along to the Corinthians as an example, because they followed Jesus Christ, their example, and supremely reasoning for Christian giving, because Christ gave, we give. So grace, living, flows out of itself and what I would call self-sacrifice of the Son of God on man's behalf, on our behalf. He came into this world incarnated as a child, as a babe. He grew up among us men, and he said that I didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve. And he gave of himself. So this redemptive sacrifice was given by Christ willingly. And that's how we do things. We do it willingly, out from of the heart, as we give up ourselves, as Christ has so freely given to us. So this costly gift had long been promised from the Old Testament, as Paul draws from the Old Testament, the Exodus. So, but the promise without performance is like a well without water. How many of you have ever gone to an old well and dropped a bucket or one of those big canisters down, and you come up without water? Well, that's what it'd be like. So, nothing like fresh spring cool water to quench your thirst or to reveal what Paul is talking about right here. So Christ gave himself that we might, through his poverty, become rich in the spiritual blessings that he gives. So what Paul is saying, the Christian giving should spring from the consciousness, possessions of the riches we have received in Christ Jesus. So we say, give me Jesus, right? Give me Jesus. And he gives us everything that we need. So why not for us to give as Jesus gave of himself? So the matter of Christian giving, which some regard so very little, is very, it's a very great thing in scriptures. Why? Because it is attached to the most worthy of all events that the Bible speaks of and refers to here in his word. So the ideal of Christian giving is strapped inseparable to the supreme example of Jesus Christ and the whole depth of his humbling himself, going to the cross, and his suffering for us, you and me. So as we look at this morning, the Christian motivation for giving is founded in what Christ gave for the Macedonians, for the Corinthians, and for us. So in your outline this morning, I tried to outline it in a way that we would better understand what this message is about giving. The caption over in my particular chapter here says generous giving. But I want us to see how Christian motivation for giving is founded in what Christ gave for the Macedonians, using them for an example and carrying on or passing it on to Corinthians so that they would understand, okay, this is how it's done. This is the giving, the Macedonian church. And then the Corinthians is to follow, as well as we are today, as we follow the scriptures that's lined out here as Paul. So first of all, let's look at Christ's sacrificial exchange. Okay, exchange it from Christ to us. His giving, so that exchanges calls and falls in line with what we should be doing as well. So in verse 9, it turns to supreme example and motive for grace giving. See, Christ extended grace to us, so in such a way that we gracefully give back to him. So verse 9 again, just so that we will better understand the scriptures, never hurts to read them over and over and over and over. Sometimes I'll read them 5, 6, 7, 8 times till I really understand, okay, what is this verse really saying? So in verse 9, it says, for you all know, okay? Sometimes that's like saying, okay, do you remember? Do you recall? And I hear this in conversations all the time. If somebody's talking, they say, you know. It's like, yeah, you know this. And I'm just bringing this up to your remembrance so that you understand where I'm going with this, okay? So Paul is saying, you know where I'm going with this. So for you all know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, I want to underline that. You're going to see that in a few minutes, that he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And that poor means poverty stricken. It means at the lowest of the lowest, like having nothing. He gave all. Christ gave all. That's what Paul is saying. So that you... Hear that word again, all, through him, and I'm going to use the word extreme, poverty might become rich. We were poor because we were sinful. We were down at the bottom of the pit. But through Christ, he brought us up out of that and gave us the riches of glory, of everything that we would even think or imagine that could be given to us as sinners in this world. Christ gave himself, which is all. So, looking at this, the supreme reason for giving is introduced with what Paul is saying, you all know, okay? And that's where I hope that will be planted in your mind in, through these scriptures as we look at them this morning, so we will better understand where we stand in relationship of Christ and his unconditional giving of his life and in his all through the scriptures, which explains it all. So this is something that these believers are fully familiar with by the proclamation of the great truth and by the personally experiencing its reality of it. So we experience the reality of Christ giving to us. So the greatest empowering of Christian giving and the giving of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that. That is it. The grace of Christ's giving is supreme, and it's always seen in Jesus Christ in the way that he gave. All right, again, he was rich refers to the pre-existence as the Son of God. That's what it means. He was rich. He had everything. He does have everything, and everything was made for him according to Scripture. So this is something that these believers are fully familiar with. So the greatest empowering of this is Jesus Christ. So although he was rich, refers to the pre-existence. Now, then it says that he became poor. He became poor, refers to the incarnation of Jesus Christ and his social standing on the earth. And Luke chapter 9 verse 58 tells us all about how he came into this world. He was poor, you know, went and was going to stay in the inn, but there was no room in the inn, and they stayed in a humble stable. And therefore that's the poorest of the poor, when you go from an inn to a stable where animals slept and fed and things like that. So he who had everything of true value, which is Christ, became poor. He became poor. And this word means hopelessly, hopeless, poverty. And yet he accepted mankind's debt and our sin. He paid the price with his life. And Paul even goes further and explains this in Philippians chapter 2, how at the right time Christ came into this world and gave of himself freely. So why would he do such a, what I would call a, such a noble, gracious thing? Why would he do that? For many, many years, as you go back to the Old Testament, the Hebrew children were always praying and calling upon the Heavenly Father to free them and give them the freedom of life, give them something to look forward to in life. Take them out of exile and take them out of bondage and give them the freedom. It's always from the very beginning of time of man, knowing that there was something much better than their present, something much better for the future that would give them hope. And then, when the new church age, the church was founded, God said, well, here it is. Here is what you've been looking for. This is your Messiah, and yet still many in this world does not accept Christ as Messiah, even though they pray, give us the true Messiah, give us someone, that give us a king. Even Pilate himself, this is Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. He realized that, he accepted that, he knew that, but his own did not. So that's what Paul was referring to. It's a reminder. Paul was all in on when it came to Christ and what the benefits of knowing him personally and how Christ gave. And as we give of ourselves, we need to remember that as well and give to others or give back to Christ what he gave to us. Now, he did this that we might become rich. And may become rich refers to salvation. And that is in the inheritance of God's kingdom, eternal, and also the glorification of it all, the glory of it. That's what it means in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now that we have trusted him, we share his riches. Now, that we have trusted him, we share in his riches. Riches like what I call daily spiritual victories. Every day we have a victory that we can share, a victory that we can see that God gets us through this day, and he's added on to us his riches and his blessings for that day. He gives us the joy. He gives us love. He gives us peace and the holiness that comes with all of that, the righteousness. Now, that is what Paul is talking about, Christ's sacrificial exchange. That's what we get in exchange for what Christ gave to us through his sacrificial giving of his life. Now, there's a second part of this, and it's in verses 10 through 12. The faithful follow through. The faithful. We follow through as Christ has been faithful and follows through with his commitment to us. So here, Paul counsels in verse 10, it's finished for what we have begun, okay? Now, verse 10 says, I gave my opinion in this matter. This is what Paul is saying. You'll see that word again. For this is your advantage. Who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. So, Paul states that he gives his personal opinion in this manner. Now, again, he is not issuing a command, but he is giving his opinion or advice. Now, sometimes it's okay to give advice, right? Or sometimes it's good to give suggestions. I'm not saying I'm demanding or commanding you to do this, but this is a good idea if you would, at least consider this. And that's what Paul is saying. I'm giving you my opinion because I know that it works, and I've seen the results of this from Macedonia. Now it's coming to you, the Corinthians, and to us. It's to our advantage. And again, he's not issuing a command, but to his advice in verse 8. So he lets the example of Christ be the compelling factor and not a command. See, simply because of that simple little word, grace. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. Grace giving must always come from a willing heart, a graceful heart. Paul says in his other letters, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it cannot be coerced or forced. But Paul does not simply want them to give. They were doing that, but desire to give. A desire, even with freely from the heart, is what Paul was saying, to give even also. You have given, but feel free, the freedom to give also. A desire to be willing to give. What I would say, it primes to pump. Going back to the well, drawing well from water, it primes your pump. As we give and give graciously as Christ gives us, it pumps us up. It pumps us up spiritually. It makes us feel like, yes, I am fulfilling my responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ to give of myself, to give what he has given to me freely. And we do it with a gladness of heart. So here, looking in verse 11, Paul encourages them to follow through and turn their desire to contribute into action in verse 11, which says, but now finish doing it also. Okay, he said finish means completion. Follow through. So that just as there was a readiness to do it, so there may also be a completion of it by your ability. Not what you don't have, but what you do. So the Corinthian Christians had been the first to agree to the given project. Now, I say this because it pulls from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you go back to the first book of Corinthians, Paul is talking about, you know, the agreement with them to giving in from a freely given from the heart. Then, had they hung back from the implementing the promise, so the word says, but now, Paul exhorts them to carry their desire through to completion. Okay? Complete what you have already started. So a lot of times we start well in our life, don't we? We start and we do well. And then for some reason, we forget or don't do things or follow through. And that's in every area of our life. It can be in sports. It can be in businesses. It can be in anything. We don't want to lose sight of the focus and the goal and the purpose that we start with in our life. And when we complete it, then we get the fulfillment of the joy of the Lord. So in verse 12, we see Paul encourages the Corinthians to give according to their desire and their needs. So look at verse 12 with me. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So let's look at that word, according to what one has. And this echoes Jesus' teaching on giving and generosity. And Mark talks about this in chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. See, what Paul is saying here, God doesn't expect us to give what we do not have. He doesn't. God does not, well, God sees not the portion, but what he sees is the proportion. So if you and I give more and do not, God knows that, okay? If we want to give more and cannot, God also, he knows that. So God sees the heart's gift, our heart's gift, and not the hand. So in ministry of giving, God is concerned first with the attitude of our hearts, our giving. And that doesn't matter, that means anything that we give of ourselves. Okay, lastly, exchanging blessings. You know, God exchanges one blessing to another, to us. And that's in verse 13 through 15. So in verse 13, it indicates that God does not want us to poverty-stricken ourselves by giving. So in verse 13, it says, "For this is not for this ease of others, for your affliction, but for the way of equality." Now, according or the guiding principle for material exchange is equality, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. Now, going back to that word grace, G-R-A-C-E. Grace giving includes more than just financial giving, as verse 14 reveals, which says, "At this present time, your abundance being supplied for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality." So, once the Jerusalem church received such a heartfelt relief from their hunger situation, they must be abound and pray for the power of God down on the Corinthians and the other Gentile churches. So it's one church helping another church. It's one individual helping another church. It's one person helping others. And Paul was using this as an example from the Macedonian church to the Corinthian church through the giving of, and that's where missions come in, isn't it? Helping and one another, helping mission, helping those who cannot help themselves, helping those who are giving themselves completely for the ministry of the Lord. So the giving is something in our life of ourselves freely that others may also experience the riches of Christ. Now in verse 15, Paul quotes Exodus 16:18 as a proof of this principle of equality. See, we're all equal in the sight of the Lord when it comes to churches and so forth. It wasn't a matter of exact equality. Instead, it was a matter of fairness and justice. In verse 15, it says, "Just as it has been written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not lack." Now, that's a good equality right there, isn't it? It all comes down. We can't outgive the Lord, can we? He gives us so much. And I'm talking about the spiritual blessings, the things that really makes us grow spiritually in this life. Going back to the spiritual things and the love and the growth, our love and trust in him. Now, as we look at the conclusion here this morning, Jesus' life was his wealth. His life. And I'll put it this way too. Jesus' life is our wealth as well. And your life is your true wealth also. Now, God will not force you to lay it down, But he will want you to lay it down of your own accord and for others, that they might see the riches and glory of Christ Jesus in your life as well. And that's the fellowship of the believers. That's the fellowship of the church. And when it comes down to it, our prayer should be, may God lead us to follow Jesus' example and live a life of love and give ourselves as he gave to us freely. And when we're moving into this Christmas season, you know, the giving of God's love is one of the most important things. The gift that he has given us of himself is a gift that is indescribable. I would put it that way, indescribable. So when we give as Jesus gave, then that is, to me, that's the ultimate thing of the Christian life, to give as Jesus gave. And an example is we see this in the life of Christ. In the life of Christ, he gave it all. He gave it all. And we are to do our part in giving of ourselves freely. Not only, you know, to count up the rewards or anything like that, but just as a blessing that we are faithful and true in our giving back to the Lord of our own self. That's the whole key. That's the blessing of this season of Christmas, as we give of ourselves. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your unconditional love. And Lord, what a blessing it is to just know you personally. To know that when we come to you with a particular need, you're there for us. You listen. And then in this message today, we hear what Paul is saying, what life is all about, what really motivates the Christian life, what motivates the church, what motivates us to see from Christ and our Heavenly Father's perspective, what's most important in life. It's giving of ourselves. It's giving. And I do believe that's why, Lord, Heavenly Father, you placed us here on this earth, that we give back what you have given to us so freely of our time and the spiritual blessings that we receive from that are immeasurable. Lord, many of us come in to this sanctuary this morning with particular needs. We come in with what do we call those things that causes us to put things in the right perspective, in your perspective, not our own, but in your perspective. Lord, I count it a blessing as we come together in your name to worship, to praise you, to seek your guidance for our lives. Lord, sometimes we miss out on a lot because we're not looking at things from your perspective. But then as Paul says, we see it and then we desire to do even more. And that's when you open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out your many blessings to us. And the important thing of that is salvation. Salvation. You've given that freely to each one of us. And those who accepted that salvation now understand what eternal life, what that will be, and how we will be accepted by you. In this invitation this morning, Lord, may we open up our hearts, may we see from your perspective your unconditional love and how we are to give unconditionally to one another and freely to you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.